Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's another Rugby World Cup Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with me, Tim, and with Welshman JB.
Good day, Tim.
Hello to Phil, who is in the Omani Desert at the moment on a little bit of a break. He missed the England-Wales game last night. JB said, I'll get someone in to fill in for Phil, and he's picked another Welshman. He probably thought he might need that for backup. As it turns out, it's double the gloating today. Bryn Williams, a friend of the pod, former barber and RGC player.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, mate, you all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Right, so I suppose there's only one place to start on today's Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Let's deal with the elephant in the room and let's talk about England-Wales. Wales, well done on your win. Let's move on.
Do you know what? I live in this world where I perpetually say things, no one listens, and eventually I'm turned... it's shown that I'm 100% right.
Oh, so what was it this time then, Jay?
It is one of the most annoying things ever. So let's just go through a list of things which I've said in the past. Lancaster's horribly outclassed. Robshaw's not a great captain, but a good player. Dan Biggar gets progressively better depending on the situation which you put him in.
Thing is, this is a little bit like if you throw enough stuff at the wall, some of it will stick.
Maybe.
You make a lot of statements. Shall I remind you of Miles Benjamin? Guaranteed England starter at the World Cup. Yeah, all right. Well, here's a question to start with. Is Stuart Lancaster blameless for England's defeat? And if I just set a little bit of a context to why I asked that question... JB, a lot of the build-up to the World Cup, and in fact, during Stuart Lancaster's whole tenure as head coach at England, you have been very, very critical of him, and lots of people, eyebrows were raised at his selections. I don't think any of the decisions he made were the fault of the defeat. I actually would say Stuart Lancaster set England up to win the game. He did everything he could to make England win the game, and the fault is not remotely at his door.
I understand what you're saying, and... in hindsight, in the cold light of day, England could and probably should have won that game. They had 100%. Ample opportunity. You know, Wales snuck it, really, in the last 12 minutes, didn't they? But one big thing for me was that I read today that England, under Lancaster, have had 44 games. Now, going into a game and pairing a centre partnership, Burgess and Barrett, for the first time...
It's quite outstanding, actually, isn't it?
When you've had 44 games and you're still picking combinations for the biggest game that's been on the horizon for years, I was staggered to see that.
It's one of those things, if it would have worked out, he'd be saying that he's a genius, but it hasn't, and therefore he gets slated. Now,
well, let's not forget, it would have only been, had Jonathan Joseph been fit still, it would have only been the second time that pairing had been together.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, so this is kind of where I'm standing. We know England can beat Wales. Not only do we know it, we've seen it twice. We've seen it twice, and we've seen it with a guy who they left out completely, which is Burrell. And when Burrell played, not only did they beat him, they beat him with probably something to spare, in fairness, right?
Oh, we're going over old ground here. No. This is kind of my point, because this is what we spent the last podcast talking about, was the selection of the England team. Sam Burgess didn't do anything wrong.
No, he didn't.
Jamie Roberts didn't have a look-in in the game.
Well, just bear with me a second, because this is going somewhere, which is when that team was selected, if England just played like England did, they could and should have scored more points. Wales are not prolific scorers. They haven't been under Warren Gatland unless they're under, unless they're playing against someone like Italy, where they can be. So to go out there to try and stop Wales playing, I wouldn't worry about that. Wales aren't going to play anyway. You need to get points on the board. Well, and they weren't able to do that.
Well, I'll just throw this back at you. The Welsh defence, which is what you've talked up for months and years, the Welsh defence. And it is. It has got pedigree. It didn't look like the Welsh defence, in inverted commas, against England. England cut cut them to shreds. Didn't finish.
Didn't cut them to shreds. He scored one try.
No, we Wales.
But it wasn't the same Wales
had their first proper break after an hour had gone.
Yeah.
I guess my point is, I can't believe, I'm an Englishman, I cannot believe we lost that game. I cannot. How you can be 10 points up multiple times in the second half of a test match at home?
Mm-hmm.
It boggles the mind.
And not only that. The way the Welsh try came as well, it must have just been heartbreaking. God.
But Lancaster has to shoulder a bit of the blame for that.
Has to shoulder all.
Not all of the blame, because let's be brutally honest. Robshaw should have taken the 3 points that were on offer. The way Farrell was kicking, they should have gone for points and taken the draw, because a draw would have suited England. They've got the bonus point against Fiji in the bag. Wales probably won't. If they beat Fiji on Thursday, which is a tall order in itself with the injuries, you know, it's going to be a tight game. Australia didn't get the bonus point against them. So if England were going into that game with that bonus point in the bag, they should have taken a draw and they would still be in the driving seat. I know it wasn't a freebie kick, but they should have gone for that. So that was poor from Robshaw, really.
Yeah.
However, Lancaster has to shoulder some of the blame, because there must be something with the team that they're just not quite getting over the line. I mean, they've come runners up in the past. Is it 3 or 4 Six Nations?
Yeah.
You know, that what happened with the Grand Slam in Cardiff a couple of years ago, they seem to have put that right against Wales. That's why they were the favourites yesterday. But something went catastrophically wrong for England, that they didn't get over the line and they couldn't close out the win. They were the better side, realistically, for 60 minutes, weren't they?
There was parts of that game when Wales were taking the ball in, and I was worried that Wales just couldn't retain it. Breakdown was slow.
Yeah, the equation doesn't work. We were just picking off the Welsh line out. We were hammering your scrum. Yeah. We were breaking your defences.
Tell you what, that scrum,
we were kicking our goals. But I'll tell you what it is. It's like all the discussion pre-match. Owen Farrell at fly-off, I'm not sure. He stood up and had a great game.
Yeah. Yep.
20 points and did
everything
right.
But who played better? Who played better than
maybe we'll leave that discussion for a moment. And then Sam Burgess, he actually looked at home at that level. Not outstanding, but at home.
Yeah.
And it was guys like... It's ever-presence that Lancaster has gone to time and again. Mike Brown was an embarrassment. The Mr. Angry just went too far. He looked like he'd had a massive.
He looked like he'd lost his head, didn't he?
He looked like he completely lost his head.
I tell you what, I even tweeted it.
And he gave away some ridiculous penalties, as did Billy Vunipola, as did Tom Youngs, as did.
But hang on, these are the guys, right? These are the good guys, the guys you want in your team, the guys who've got the right culture, the right attitude, they've written the right things on the right shirts about their mums taking them to rugby, it is.
None of those players. Well, the point is, Warren Gatland would have picked every one of those players. For some reason, and I don't blame Stuart Lancaster, these are men, these are rugby players, they lost their heads, they gave away ridiculous penalties.
It was dull, the penalties they gave away.
It was brainless.
The ref was obviously hot on the hands on the floor at ruck time. You know, it was just daft England letting Wales back into the game in that respect.
But as a coach, if you spend half your time coaching rugby and the other half being an amateur psychologist, you would have hoped that half your time would have actually resulted in a team that doesn't lose its head.
No, you don't.
44 games.
You can't blame Stuart Lancaster for Mike Brown not thinking in the game with a minute, 2-3 minutes left. We're 45, 50 metres out. I'll give up possession rather than give Dan Bigger a kick at sticks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't, however much preparation a coach does, you can't, a guy with that much experience and that much pedigree.
It's Mike Brown's fault?
No, I'm saying players like Mike Brown, Dan Cole, Tom Youngs, Billy Vunipola should know a lot better than they did.
If you counter that against the Welsh players, their big game players stood up, didn't they?
Oh, my word.
You know, Faletau was outstanding.
Yeah, he was
Alan
amazing,
Wynn,
yeah.
If you want to talk
Sam
about
Warburton.
Culture within a team, my word, those Welsh players, when they were going down and the replacements they came on in drips and drabs and a completely new back line, everyone shuffled into different positions. Yeah. By the way, Rhys Priestland is a 15 for the commentator. He said, a 10 going to 15. No, he's a 15 that went to 10.
I thought Nick Mullins called that game brilliantly, by the way. Generally.
As he always does.
As he always does.
I watched a game in Wales and we had Eddie Butler and Andy Moore commentating on ITV Wales, and it wasn't much fun, to be honest.
I'll just read this one. Because I think this sort of echoes what you're talking about, Jay. Gavin Thomas, wonder what nationality he is. He says, he's tweeted to @rugbypodcast, that's where you can get in touch with us. He said, England-Wales was why I love the sport. coaching selection, culture went out of the window, and it came down to courage. And I think
Wales had a lot more courage.
The top 2 inches was where Wales won it. Really, that was it.
I just think Wales have been in more games like that. Like if you look at the Ireland game this year, when Wales stopped Ireland getting a grand slam, effectively, it was that sort of game. And Wales are back to the wall defending, and it takes a team like Wales everything to win a game like that on it, against England. And they left everything out there and they got the win and it was brilliant. But England looked like they could have had another gear, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that Wales are that sort of team mentally because Gatland just pushes them so hard?
Yeah. I think the Welsh psyche has always been they need to be at their best to deliver. You know, that's why they come and stuck about against the Southern Hemisphere sides, because if they'd have played like that against Australia, instead of being 10 points down, they could have potentially been, you know, 15, 20 points down and they couldn't have got back in. But Bigger kept them in the game and their belief grew. You could just see it in the second half. The belief grew. England gave away those daft penalties.
It's ridiculous.
And it was just inevitable by the end.
Right, so picking up on something you just said then about the, you know, they've been beasted in wherever it was, Qatar and Switzerland.
Yeah.
Is there an argument? Is it just a freak run of injuries or have they been pushed to the limit where they're on a knife edge
now,
fitness-wise?
Double-edged sword, I think. I think if you don't do that, you don't get the performance that we saw yesterday and that, you know, mental toughness.
There has to be something in it, doesn't there? The amount of injuries they're getting, but there's a massive range of injuries, so it's not like if they were all getting hamstring or groin or something fatigue related, you could understand it.
But someone handing someone Amos off and a dislocated shoulder from a handoff.
Yeah, but did you see it? How his arm went back? It was very weird. And
it was weird. It didn't even look even the replay.
Farrell can tackle, can't he? It was him who hit Amos, and
that handoff was so awesome when it happened live. I thought it was George North. Thought, yeah. God, North has gone here, and is it, you know, and it's little Amos. I don't know how little he actually is.
Yeah.
But then he goes as concussion. You can't help that. There's a knee injury to Scott Williams, and he is out. That's big.
By the way, in just a little discussion we had in JB's front room as we were watching USA against Scotland, you two were saying, "Oh, Liam Williams will be back next week." Right. I'm sorry if you were watching that and it wasn't your countryman. You'd say that's 3 weeks enforced on the sidelines, or 2 weeks, is it? What is it? 2 weeks?
He should be two weeks.
He was out.
Yeah, I have no doubt about it, but show me the last time that Gatland listened to any rules.
He shouldn't be playing. If he was out, like, you know, he should not be playing because there's just too much risk associated with concussion now. I know it's the end topic after last week.
And that sort of leads on to this question is this as good as it's going to get for Wales in this tournament? Because we've picked up on the injuries they've got. They've also got a pretty tough schedule now. They've just come off the back of England 5-day turnaround. They're playing Fiji and then they've got Australia.
You looked at Gatland's reaction, and I've never seen that from Gatland before. It looked a little bit like Wales' cup final. Now, I hope I'm wrong, because
Are you referring to him on ITV after the game?
The celebration.
He was like choking up.
Yeah.
You can see his bottom lip quivering,
Like, it was a massive win, but you've got to think Wales can beat Fiji on Thursday now. At the Millennium, that'll be bouncing because Wales got that result against England. So even the 4-day turnaround, what I was glad to hear was that, do you know what they did after the game yesterday?
Nope.
Straight on the bus back to Wales, and they were in the cryotherapy chambers till 3 a.m.
Is that right?
So they were, you know,
these boys mean business.
Do you know the school in like the X-Men Beginnings or whatever movie? I'm imagining there's like Magneto sat there just checking all the Welsh players in.
And as bad as the injury list is now, I think North will go into 13, and that could be where he plays a lot of rugby from here on out, because
he gets his hands
on the ball. Him and Roberts could be ideal in the centres against Fiji. Cuthbert will come in on one wing. If Liam Williams is fit, then he'll play fullback. If not, you've got to think Matthew Morgan or Gareth Ainscombe will come back into the squad. Possibly
is it time
James
to phone
Hook.
Big Gav? It has to be, right?
No, he's just not been around the squad for 4 years, has he? It's just too big an ask. And no matter what level his fitness is, it won't be at the same level as what will be demanded from the Welsh manager. I mean,
have Wales got 7 games in them?
No.
With this squad?
Not even close.
No.
Not even close. I mean, if we had the full 15 now last night and two of them went down, yeah, maybe, you know, but no, not even close.
The best run of results Wales could hope for now, I would say, is beat Fiji. Hope that Australia then beat England, so they will they'll guarantee they'll be qualified, Wales, when they play Australia. They might even then rest players against Australia because it's going to take so much out of them playing Fiji on Thursday and then aim for the quarterfinals.
Tell me this, Tim.
Yeah.
What would it take for you to say, look, Lancaster hasn't worked, it wasn't a good appointment, and this is why we're going out in the group stages? What would it take?
Well, the first one is...
You're phenomenally loyal.
No, the first one, I would say, is a memory of what 2011 was like.
OK,
because being an England fan through 2011 was ugly.
It was.
In 2011 with Martin Johnson...
A dwarf tossing.
Oh, God,
and
horror, just a horror show.
All that, yeah.
Horror show. And but me and Phil were saying it for the, you know, the number of caps we've got in our side is not enough. We don't have enough experience. It's probably come too early to win a World Cup, which is a shame because we're at home. But we've got an amazing squad.
I think this is just
doesn't it feel though like it must be so frustrating being an England fan? Yeah. Doesn't it feel like they're this so close
yeah.
to being very good because yeah. they play some rugby that I haven't seen England play for a long time and. They've got, like, what they did to Wales' pack yesterday at the set piece. They took that away. But it just, there's something missing. I can't put my finger on it. There must be something.
I think they must be mentally weak.
It can't be mentally weak because it was, in the last minute, they had a kick to draw that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, the small margins just don't seem to be rolling England's way at the moment.
Dan Sabato on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, said it's nothing to do with character or culture. That won't right the wrongs of the England-Wales game. It was leadership that was not there. And an interesting moment, like you say.
Have I said anything about England leadership in the past? Well, no, I haven't. Carry on.
I think he was more counteracting your culture argument. So anyway, so I thought it was a really...
How was that counteracting the culture argument?
I thought it was a really interesting moment. When in the last, you know, 2 minutes to go, take a kick at goal with Owen Farrell. He might have missed it, fine. But then we get the ball back from a dropout, and it didn't look like Chris Robshaw was the one calling the shots. It looked like George Ford was the one that was calling the shots. We don't know what was said in that little huddle.
Well, that's ridiculous, and that's weak, and it's pathetic.
It looked like it when actually that should have just been a discussion. I don't know, Robshaw going, Owen, how do you feel about it?
Allegedly, the kick best it. Leader. In all of English rugby, that's why he has the job he has. Well, there's no way that he gets overruled.
Probably is.
It wouldn't happen to Orbison. It just wouldn't.
Yeah, but you say that you don't understand in the heat of the battle there what's gone on. Whether Farrell said it's a 50-50, you just don't know. In fairness to Robshaw, he shouldered the blame for that, which is he's not tried to pass it on and say look the kicker didn't fancy. He's not said anything.
I can't remember if it was Australia or Argentina, but Robshaw in one of his first games as captain had an almost identical situation, and he did the same thing about 4 years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? This is actually in some way it could be wonderful news for England. Because if you do finally get rid of Lancaster, finally rid yourself of these shackles of all the nonsense which has gone on, you can get a real coach, you can get a Baxter in, you can get a Mallander in.
Eddie Jones.
I'll defend
Stuart Lancaster and the job he has done.
Of course you will.
What he has done is turned what was described by the players as a toxic England environment
but how hard
to a very positive England environment. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he's...
Sorry?
Maybe you're right that he's... No, I've never said anything different. Maybe he's not the coach that can win a World Cup, but he's done a brilliant job from where we were to where we are.
Do you think he's taken them possibly as far as he can?
Yeah, I think
we'll
he's...
Wait and see.
But they are on the cusp.
If we beat Australia, what are we then saying?
But he was only an interim coach to start with.
Yeah.
And then they went through the process, he interviewed well, and he got the job. It's just so stupid. He did nothing before that other than run the academy and get leads through the league system, which is fine.
If
England beat Australia with... deny Australia a bonus point, most likely they'll top the group still, because Wales, I can't see... They're going to lose a couple of players, you're guessing, against Fiji. So where that ends up, they cannot afford any of their big forwards to get injured, and they cannot afford either Bigger or Roberts.
And
to
England
get
are going to be playing Uruguay. Let's not forget.
So that's 5 points.
They'll kind of know what their task is. They'll go. We need to score about this many points to top the group if we beat Australia.
But Australia look good. They do look really good.
They've got an unbelievable power.
They
pace.
Put a bit of a second string out today, didn't they? Against Uruguay, and they look.
I think Dean
really
Mum captained the team. Did he?
Yeah.
Captain their second string, yeah.
Which is,
So England beating Australia isn't, you know, obviously it's not a foregone conclusion whatsoever. So
well, we dominated. I was at Twickenham for the autumn international last year, and it was only one team ever going to win that.
Yeah.
Brad Barrett was playing outside centre in that game with Big Luth, I think. And so if Jonathan Joseph isn't out, Brad Barrett got man of the match and just shut down their outside backs. So I still back us to beat Australia.
Yeah, I would.
It is a cup final. It is a cup final.
You saw the Springboks bounce back, didn't you? And I just think England are capable of that. At Twickenham, at home.
Well, they have to be.
They've got to bounce back.
They've got Uruguay. Isn't Uruguay next and Australia last?
Do you think they'll make any changes for the Australia game?
They have to. They were not going to put Burgess against those nippy Australian backs, are they? Imagine.
Joseph's not going to be back.
Joseph is touch and go.
I think if Joseph's fit, Ford comes back in just because they play so well and, you know, together.
Farrell did nothing wrong, though. Farrell did nothing wrong.
No, he was class.
And right,
if he'd kicked that, you know, if he'd gone for that penalty at the end, kicked it, everyone would have said, you know, what a decision to play Owen Farrell. He kicked all his goals. He matched Dan Bigger. They got the draw. They've come away from it now.
Fine, go on, JB. Have your moment on Dan Bigger. Go on. Well, go on, have your moment.
Dan Bigger.
You've been waiting.
What can we say? A guy who doesn't get half the recognition that he deserves internationally. A wonderful, wonderful talent. And Owen Farrell found out last night what James Hawke and Gavin Henson already know, that that Dan Bigger is as good as it gets at 10. He really is. And the bigger the occasion, the better the player.
I think you saw two 10s who are very similar.
Yeah.
They're very, both obviously mentally tough, excellent kickers, good defence, and they're both courageous, aren't they? Very, like, brave.
And I tell you the other thing, both have got the most ridiculous setups for kicks.
Pre-game routine. Pre-kick routine.
Oh, my
bigger
word.
Owen Farrell, like, chuck like a bolt of lightning and some sort of Halloween-esque stuff around him. It's a freaky little stare, isn't
Owen
it?
Owen Farrell, I can only describe, it's kind of like a robot scanning. He kind of goes one way, then the other, like a little laser rangefinder going on. And as for Dan Bigger,
it looks like he's warming up to dance or something.
It's like the Macarena. Touch, touch, flick. But then he does little shoulder
wiggle.
Someone should do this Strictly Come Dancing music with Dan Bigger set up.
I said to JB before, potentially it was a good thing for Wales that Halfpenny wasn't playing yesterday, because Halfpenny, although
he's
such a prodigious kicker, he often misses one.
Yeah.
And Bigger didn't miss any yesterday,
and
did he?
Every one of them is dead straight.
Halfpenny's always got one, like, he always pulls one kick that you expect him to get.
And I tell you the other thing as well, like, Mike Brown, I've been up and down on Mike Brown. I don't actually think he played too badly yesterday. I do appreciate he's a very good player. But we have our own Mike Brown in Liam Williams. Those two are, like, they're like brothers. They're angry, they love to run, they're great and underneath the high ball. It's like the same person.
It was England didn't play up to their best. Yeah. Wales played exceptionally well at Twickenham.
It was a smash and grab.
Yeah,
it was smash
and grab. Do you remember
Scott Williams' try when they got the Grand Slam in 2012? Yeah. That was so similar, just a smash and grab. Oh. And Wales were celebrating
It just shows, isn't it, if you hang in there, it's like a 12-round fight and we got battered for 11 and knocked them out in the 12th.
Most points Wales have ever scored at Twickenham.
Really?
Yeah, 28 points is the most points they've ever scored. So they really haven't got a good record at Twickenham. I mean, it's improved under Gatland. And
they got more at Wembley, that's
Sam
right. They
Warburton
got more
is only the second captain ever in Welsh history to captain Wales to two victories at Twickenham.
And
wow.
Yeah.
What a guy, though.
Oh, see, we miss it, Phil. Listening in the Omani Desert, you are redundant now. Those sort
Omani
of facts,
Desert sounds very designer.
It does, doesn't it? Bryn, that's some amazing facts you bring into the party there. All right, I think we talked enough about England-Wales. I think I say well played to Wales. I think it was the top 2 inches was the difference, really. And for whatever reason, it's those... I mean, it's times like this when you learn a lot about guys as men, not even as rugby players. And I think... I learned a little bit about Billy Vunipola and Dan Cole and Tom Youngs and Mike Brown and Chris Robshaw.
I'd just be disappointed. And this last thing I'll say, I'd just be disappointed that they didn't already know this.
Thing I'd say, England will bounce back, because Wales have been there for so long, and experience at Test match level counts for so much. And I think you just saw it in the last 10 minutes.
Mm. All right, let's just go around the round table very, very, very quickly and ask which two teams qualify from this group?
I think Australia are in the box seat, but I think we're going to beat them. So I think it's a shoot. I think Australia Wales is a shootout, winner of that. And I think, where is that game? Is that Twickenham?
It's at Twickers, yeah.
I think
that helps. I
think that helps Wales.
I think because they've got a serious. mental block against Australia at Cardiff. So I think taking it away from Cardiff.
Oh, I'm going to say England-Wales.
England-Wales? Wow.
In that order.
Bryn?
Wales-Australia.
Oh. I have to say, as much as I love that win, I think the cost of that win was too high.
I can't believe what you're about to say.
I think it's going to be Australia-England.
Really?
I really wouldn't be surprised by that either. It all comes down to Saturday. Whoever wins, Australia-England.
If Australia win...
I think
England are out.
Yeah,
Australia win, England
Wales
are gone.
Presumably,
it's kill our
but,
podcast
but
numbers.
We're overlooking Fiji-Wales because that is a massive game for Wales. They never make it easy against Fiji. Fiji are a good side. We saw that against England in patches. We saw a lot more of it against Australia. And Wales, with a four-day turnaround, I'm just glad that one's at the Millennium because the Millennium will be in full voice after what Wales did on Saturday.
Oh, won't it?
So it could all change by Friday morning. It could be from, you know, with Welsh rugby, it could be from triumph to disaster
just
in the same week.
I thought the spectacle was brilliant. I love how passionate people have been, and I fully respect what Wales did to England, and I still think England could bounce back. But just for the World Cup and for one thing I'm jealous of as an Englishman when you look at Wales is how the country shuts down when there's an international on. And that's never going to happen in England. But we're only going to know how big rugby union can be in England from England doing really well in this World Cup. And if we go out in the group stage, it'll just be a disaster.
The tournament needs England to stay in.
And not only that, what about our podcast numbers?
Yeah.
More to the point.
It's good for podcast business.
Exactly.
We're having our most downloaded most downloaded episodes ever. We're consistently in the top 5 or 6 podcasts on iTunes, up there with Gary Neville and
Guardian, who I think are downloading their own podcast to inflate their numbers, quite frankly.
Oh, well, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, well.
And also, more than that, I'm hosting the Rugby World Cup fan zone in Manchester the weekend of when the Uruguay game is in Manchester, and if England are already out of the competition, it's just going to be me and a load of empty chairs with nobody caring.
Though, isn't it, like, just comparing that group to other groups and what Wales have had to do to get that victory now, probably, you know, potentially cost them.
And what
the
is the long
the
game
tournament
for this Welsh team now, because I can't see. Yeah, we get to the knockouts. Where are we going to go from there? We don't have the strength. We've got a pack, but we've got no backs. So we might limp into the knockouts and just get knocked out.
We're definitely going to miss Scott Williams. That's massive. But George North, I think at 13, he could be in business there. And we don't know, do we, who's going to come in. That's the big thing. If Eli Walker is potentially going to be fit in the next couple of weeks...
He's not allowed to come back in, though.
He will be able to.
No. My understanding of the rules are, if you go out, you can't come back.
I wouldn't.
He wasn't picked
right.
in the original squad, was he?
You know, but he got called into the squad.
I can't imagine that's right. Why? What would be the point in?
So you don't just say that he's injured, bring in someone else.
Surely,
they go out and then they come back in.
I've not read anything about that today.
We need Phil for this.
That doesn't seem right, does it?
That seems odd.
You'd think they verify injuries.
But you know, but you understand what I mean. You don't want to
understand what you're saying.
Because people say hamstring injury or back injury.
So you can't go like, that guy needs that. Or Liam Williams is concussed. He's out. We're going to replace him, and then in 2 weeks' time, that guy's injured. We'll bring Liam Williams back in.
Exactly. I might stick with Lloyd Williams on the wing. He did all right yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, there's that little chip through.
That, I mean, for a fellow with not a lot of international experience, well, hardly any international experience, that's going to be a moment he will show his grandkids that.
Yeah.
Or it'll be folklore
class,
in his town. It was amazing.
Class
and I bet if you ask him, why do you do that? He goes, I have no idea. And the commentators were slating it, just kicks away possession. Hang on a minute. What's this? It might work.
And Wigglesworth looked slow, didn't he, over the ground there.
Right, so we should talk about some other matches, because there were some other matches going on. But before we get into those, just to remind you, because, I mean, the stakes of that Wales-Australia game can't be underestimated. So you could be there at Twickenham and soaking up some of that atmosphere and watching Wales try and back up that result against England against Wales. Against England against Australia. You could be at Twickenham with DHL, the official logistics partner of the rugby.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan,
turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The World Cup, who are giving us with the Egg Chasers, giving one lucky Egg Chaser and a mate, that could be you, a pair of tickets for this game. Now, how much Bryn and JB would love to be nicking those tickets. Well, the way you're going to win them is because DHL deliver rugby to the world. We want you to deliver us a moment of rugby or some sort of rugby-related story from the world. So, Bryn, as you're in for Phil today, what have you got?
I was trying to think about this.
It's hard, isn't it?
I mean, this is a man who's, you played for Barbarians.
Yeah, your Barbarians must be all.
You've had Canadian. It's a worthy story that, you know.
Very few rugby stories are worthy.
Booze fueled most of my stories.
It's got to be. That's fine. That's what people want to hear.
In January, I mean, I went away with my fiance to Egypt. I was playing beach volleyball. And the ball
I'm imagining this like a Top Gun.
Yes.
Playing.
It was nothing like
boys.
That. It was probably one of the worst game of volleyball you've ever seen. But the ball sort of like shot off the court and this guy was walking past. So he picked it up and it was my serve and he just threw it to me. But instead of throwing it like a football, he passed it like a rugby ball. And I looked at him, I thought, bloody hell, he looks like a rugby player. He's big tattoo, looked a big guy. So at the end of the game, I was just walking off the court and he came over to me and said, oh, is that RGC shorts you've got on RGC North Wales? I said, yeah. He said, oh, my brother played against you a couple of weeks ago. I was like, all right. I said, do you play? He goes, yeah. I said, who for? He goes, the Ospreys. I was like, oh, is it Josh Matavesi? He's like, yeah. So I got chatted to him and he's now in the Fiji squad. And he was a really nice bloke and he told a few cracking stories that just about how he gets on with the Ospreys, etc. And just a really nice bloke. And he had a week off for the, I think it's the British and Irish Cup or what's the
yeah,
cup?
Yeah, being
a,
yeah, yeah.
This is what I love. This is why, that's the perfect example of a story, Bryn, because that says everything about the game of rugby, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like you couldn't imagine a Premiership footballer or a big footballer who played at the World Cup just having a chat with you at a bar on holiday.
Just
doesn't happen.
That afternoon he came over to me and gave me some Osprey stash just on the beach.
Oh,
I've got these for you, some trunks.
Do you know what? Are you asking Josh Matavesi? You're fairly avid watcher of Welsh rugby. He's nearly on par when I met a sort of seniorish gentleman. I was playing rugby for the Hard Knocks and he was coaching the team. So at the end of it, I was like, this guy obviously likes his rugby. He must be a local guy. I said, well, what do you do with your weekends? Why don't you come down to Colwyn Bay and watch a rugby? And he goes, well, I would do, but, you know, after playing for, you know, Preston and then Waterloo, and then, of course, you know, there was England and then Captain England and coaching England and then watching Will play and then Will and the Lions. It's like, oh, Christ, I've just asked Dick Greenwood to come down and watch rugby at Colwyn Bay.
I tell you
brilliant.
What.
I had no idea who he was.
One other one that me and you were involved in, JB. We were in the walkabout in Cardiff in 2008,
Wales. That's the starting point for so many good rugby stories, isn't it?
Wales on their way to the Grand Slam, wasn't it, in 2008?
First one, wasn't
after
it?
No, that's second. 2005 was first.
Oh, yeah,
after
you're
a disaster
right,
of a 2007 World Cup, Gatland took over. They had that massive comeback in Twickenham, didn't they? And then we were on the way to a Grand Slam, and we were in a bar in the walkabout. And who's in there but Andy Powell? Now, at the time, 2008, Andy Powell was playing club rugby. He'd had that jaunt over. Did he go to Leicester for a bit?
He went to Leicester, he was never fulfilling
his potential.
Yeah.
Anyway, me and Jay said, oh, that's Andy Powell there.
He wasn't a big name at all.
No, he wasn't a big name then. So we went over. I ended up having a couple of shots with him. Got chatting to him. And JB said, oh, so where do you see, you know, your career going now, Andy? And he turned to me and JB and said, well, next year I'm getting in the Wales side.
No. He went in order, right? So just bear in mind the eights that he had to get past. He wasn't capped
at this point.
He wasn't capped, and he was playing at...
I think he was at Cardiff.
No, he was at Cardiff, but he was formed out to a team. It was Glamorgan Wanderers, right? So he was there recovering from an ankle injury. So he goes, yeah, well, I'll probably get back in the Blues team. I'll be the eight for the Blues, I'll be the eight for Wales and I'll be the eight for Lions.
And then Lions tour next year.
Sure you will, mate. So that's Xavier Rush you're getting rid of.
Yeah.
That's Ryan Jones.
Yeah.
And then you'll play Lions.
Yeah. And we looked at each other and thought, but yeah, he's had more drinks than us. But fair play to him.
He did it all.
So there you go. Story, send us your worldwide rugby moment and email it to tim@eggchasers.com. And do that before Friday, this Friday, the 2nd of October. By Friday, the 2nd of October, any entries after that won't be allowed. And our favourite story will win two tickets to see Wales against Australia at Twickenham. And if you want to be boring and find out all the terms and conditions and all that guff, dhlrugby.co.uk/eggchasers. Get involved now.
One question.
Yeah.
How interesting is it going to be if England do beat Australia? The English are going to be supporting Australia, won't they? Because Wales will need to, if they win that, they'll go through.
They'll go through top.
If they beat Fiji, that is.
Yeah.
They'll go through top. So England will need Australia to beat Wales. So Twickenham will be in full voice supporting Australia.
Well, exactly.
How weird.
Because it is back to you thinking that South Africa are going to top that pool again, isn't it?
Yeah, they will.
After that performance against Samoa. That was it was chalk and cheese, those two performances.
The Bocklash.
Is that what they called it? Is that the official name for it?
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, you know John DeVille is out of the tournament now.
Yeah, that is tragedy, isn't it? Broken jaw.
Is it the same break or...?
I don't know. He is unlucky, that one.
He is unlucky, but I think there'll be some in South Africa which... No one wants an injury, especially not as your captain. But
no, it's not fair on for a guy with a career like that to go out like that. But
I wonder if Matt Field will captain him now.
You'd have thought.
You'd think he'd the obvious choice. What a game he had! Like,
yeah.
And did you see him coming off the field, like, just acknowledging the fans? And obviously, they were hurting after what happened against Japan. And you could see South Africa going to the final now, couldn't you? Really?
Yeah.
With the players they've got.
You haven't seen an international team that focused and that just dominant.
Blew Samoa away, and Samoa are no mugs, are they?
No, they're not. They're probably.
And physical wise, you don't often see him getting out. Out-muscled like they were against South Africa.
I think Dwayne Vermeulen, however you say his name, coming back into the team is huge. And I think now they're going to go for that that centre pairing where you can have Jesse Creel in at 13.
Yeah.
That's going to make a huge
difference. It strengthens them. It's got to, hasn't it?
It actually does. And Jan de Villiers is a wonderful player, wonderful captain, but I just think it's not the right way for them to proceed.
That pack went from being... average to looking like possibly the best pack in the tournament.
Yeah.
They looked...
Just the start, Ebenezer, straight from the start, just won him a penalty, didn't he? They're just massive, man.
Ebenezer and Diego, I mean, I'm not sure in a few years how you actually top that second row pairing. They must be the most intimidating double act.
Retallick, Whitelock's not too shabby.
Oh, which two would you back
in? You'd back anything with Ebenezer in, to be honest.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. You've got to say it's been an amazing first week of the World Cup, hasn't it? It's been a brilliant advert for rugby.
It has been amazing. Scotland, again, looked like they got a bit of class against the USA. They're in business, aren't they? They're not going to beat whoever does finish top of the pool. Well, whoever England or Wales or Australia end up playing out of South Africa or Scotland.
It's not a foregone conclusion.
No way.
Even slightly. I'm going to go as far as to say Scotland might have the best back three out of all the home nations. So Maitland is a beast. Visser, just huge. And then Hogg. Hogg can play with the best of them.
It's worth pointing out they've played Japan and USA.
That is true, but Japan are no mugs, as we well know, and they absolutely put them to the sword. And they went in, they went in against USA at half time. They were down and they came out all guns firing, and they looked like a proper tier one team.
So, it's the best Scotland team I've seen for a long time, definitely. Yeah.
Finn Russell's a very, very good player. They've got a pack that can win ball. I think they're a little bit weak in the front row, but then they've got some good ball carriers. They just seem to be good across the whole team.
They've got really good players, but going back to where we started this podcast, talking about Stuart Lancaster, who I think's done a good job in the sense of what he's done.
He's done a reasonable job.
Turning it round. But you look at Eddie Jones and the job he's done at Japan.
You know, that's a job.
And you look at Vern Cotter and you look at Joe Schmidt as well.
Yeah.
And you actually...
And Warren Gatland.
And you kind of go, all right, you get the world's best coaches and you get a better product at the end of it.
What Joe Schmidt has done with Ireland, he would have done exactly the same with England. He'd have driven them to that sort of level, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. And, I think, really, Lancaster in isolation looks like he's doing a reasonably okay job. But then when you compare him to the likes of Eddie Jones, and if you want to talk about a toxic environment, Welsh rugby. My word, there is no bigger snake pit than South Wales Welsh rugby.
I like the South Wales. You mentioned that.
Bryn, you play in that league? It's savage, right?
Yeah.
Gatlin turning that round. Now that is a complete change of mindset there. So yeah. When you compare him to the best in the world, it does look like he's way behind. Mm. Way behind. Anyway,
the jury's still out. You know, it was a bad defeat yesterday because they potentially should have won that game. You know, that's to take nothing away from Wales. So let's just see now how they bounce back. And the mark of a good team is that they can bounce back. And if Lancaster can get them through now, then
it'll be hell of a turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely.
Argentina looked a proper team again, didn't they? After having to face off against the All Blacks, they suddenly...
Now, that was a surprise to me, actually, because I was really looking forward to that. Georgia go out there, they beat Tonga, and I really thought Georgia would give it a good go. Now, I don't know whether it is because they lost their captain to a yellow card.
Three tries while he was off the field.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like... let's get his name right. Samu Manoa. There we go. Not Manu Samoa, as I like to call him. As in the one truly world class. Is this the thing now? Every international team has to be captained by someone from Toulon. Is that how it
works? Unwritten rule.
Yeah.
Quick, like, get Stefan in on the open side against Australia. Quick.
Like if you're like a tier two team, your captain plays for Toulon, and that's the end of it. Because those two players are magnificent, and what they do for their country is pretty much unrivaled. I don't think there's anyone as important as Manoa for America and Godza for Georgia. But anyway, back to that game.
For Argentina, what's his name? Fernandez Lobbe. Such an important...
And that's another one, too long.
Another one.
So
I was a bit disappointed because I thought Georgia would really take it to Argentina. But actually, Argentina showed their class, and they absolutely blew them away.
They're a different side to what they were in the past, Argentina, because they can play an expansive game, and it's dangerous, isn't it? Because they look good against the All Blacks. They were matching the All Blacks for 60 minutes, weren't they?
Imhoff's the real deal.
Yeah, they are.
And it's also hard to know what kind of team they are, because you've got to remember, they play with the biggest teams in world rugby, in South Africa, New Zealand and Australia, and they lose on a regular basis. So you think, maybe they're not that dangerous.
Winning in South Africa will have done them so much good for their psyche. They're just knowing that they can go away and win in South Africa, because not many teams do it.
Mm. And going into the next round, they are going to be very... I think they're going to be very, very dangerous, and Scotland are going to be very dangerous.
And Ireland are flying under the radar. You know, the comprehensive win against a Canada side that is, it's a decent side, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're playing...
I took Italy right to the wire yesterday, didn't they? I think they're 18-3 up at the moment.
We won't know anything about Ireland, really, until they go up against France.
No, but they'll be in good shape. But France are a bogey side for Ireland, so...
Yeah, and again, I suppose we should probably apologise to our Irish and to a lesser extent Scottish listeners, because we haven't talked at much length about either team, but that's because of the quality of the opposition they've faced so far. There's some big games ahead for those guys, and then they'll feature really prominently on the podcast. But looking ahead to the games that are coming up, what are the midweek games this week, JB? You got the rundown?
I certainly do. In a matter of seconds, I will tell you.
I'll tell you what, while we're waiting for that one, a little bit of stash watch. Did you see Northampton Saints away jersey?
What do you think of this, Tim?
So let me describe it. So it's all grey with...
It's blue.
With baby blue, powder blue...
Oh, yes, sorry.
Powder blue socks and then grey and blue shorts, and then a grey top with a huge crest motif across the front of it. And it's one of those where I think you can tell a lot about what the kit's like from the faces that the players wear in it. They all look a bit grumpy, if you ask me. So I'm not sure about it.
I really like it, it is. It's not the sort of kit I would traditionally like, but it's quite clean. I just really like it. It's so much better than the kit they wore last year, which made them look like they're operating heavy machinery. Yeah, it's nice. I don't see anything wrong with it. No,
I disagree. I think it's absolutely horrible.
I'm not a big fan.
Would
of
you
it.
Want to wear that?
I really don't mind that kit. I think it's okay.
I mean, I'll wear it if I had a contract like a Northampton Saints player had. I'd happily wear it then, but under no other circumstance would I want to wear that.
Do you not think it's better than the luminous yellow one that they had to put up with last year?
Oh, God, they've had to, I like their home kits, but their second kits are terrible.
Do you know what traditionally is the colour of Northampton's second kit?
Go on.
Burgundy. But they haven't had a burgundy kit for absolutely ages.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently they had one last year, according to... Rihanna Chandler-Day told me that. And before it was about to come out, they pulled it because the board didn't like the colour, which is ridiculous.
Really?
It's her second colour. Facts.
Pyjamas. I asked people to just say, give me your one-word review of the Northampton Saints kit, and the word that came back most often was pyjamas.
is not a ringing endorsement in anyone's book.
No, it's really not. It's really not. Just going back, I completely forgot to mention a couple of good tweets. We've had some really good ones in, so please do get in touch at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Like Peter Swan UK, and a lot of people picking up on what you said about Dan Bigger's kick routine, saying, come on, Dan Bigger doing Gangnam Style dance before every penalty kick is not on, and other people asking to petition for it. Is there a stranger kicking the World Cup?
Of course, Craig Cooper with the swoosh arms.
Oh, he does have weird swoosh arms.
He won't be kicking
arms,
much,
he?
Though.
He was kicking today.
Yeah.
So, and he's got the most ridiculous one I've ever seen is
rugby league.
Oh no! Who's the
Wigan player who went like that, put the arm up. Have you seen it? Saluted.
Kind of like a Hitler salute.
Yeah, almost.
There was obviously Patterson, who had the pendulum arm. But the weirdest one was Cook from Gloucester. I can't remember his
name. Oh, Rob Cook. He changed it because he was that embarrassed about it.
Yeah, that was a sumo squat.
He used to look like he was sitting on having a dump in the woods.
It was a very, very odd thing. It was like a sumo squat, up and down twice, and then away he went. Very weird.
Another funny observation. I'm just going to show you a picture of this. How funny was it watching Martin Bayfield and Shane Williams doing the punditry at half time?
What an angle that is of height slope.
Wow. And who's in the middle?
Danny Cipriani.
Sippers!
Wow, Shane is tired.
So
isn't
Shane
he,
Williams, is that, he looks like a looks like he's Flipping the mascot that's just been invited over
but
to come in.
Babes
he
is
could well
huge.
Be playing on Thursday, actually. Shane Williams could get a call off at this rate.
Yeah, he's ahead of me, and then I think it's you. And then it's pretty light on numbers. So anyway, next week's matches.
Yes.
Do you want to know them?
Yes.
I'll say next week, but it starts on Tuesday. So let's go Tonga, Namibia. What do we make of that?
Well, I know Namibia played quite well against the All Blacks, really. It wasn't as one-sided as it might have been. It wasn't a complete... I thought it might be 80-odd points, but I spoke to Phil Davis because he coaches us, as well as Namibia, is obviously with them at the World Cup, and he said that's the game they were targeting.
Yeah.
Georgia was the game they were targeting.
Right, okay.
So how they'll go against Tonga, it's hard to tell because Georgia beat Tonga, didn't they?
Well, okay, so answer me this then, because you've actually got some experience with Namibia.
We trained against them last year. Yeah.
What's the actual squad like?
I love this inside track we're getting now with Bryn Williams on the podcast.
As guys or...?
Guys and like the general like skill level of the team.
The improvement they must have made over the last 12 months, because when we trained against them, they obviously looked a decent outfit, but they didn't look anywhere near ready to tackle the All Blacks. So I think you've got to take your hat off to the IRB. The amount of funding they've thrown towards the Tier 2 nations, it's really dragged the level of competition up.
It really has.
And teams like Namibia being able to afford someone like Phil Davis and some backroom staff to go over there for 3 or 4 months. And, you know, these are amateur players. These are amateur players who are now able to take time off 4 months, 3 or 4 months to work basically as professionals in the build-up to the World Cup. And you can just notice how much they've raised their level.
Yeah, I think you've nailed something there, Bryn, which is... The IRB, I think, World Rugby, as we should call them now, have done a magnificent job upping the standard of Tier 2s, Tier 3s, whatever you want to call them.
Absolutely.
It's made a huge difference.
But we need to learn lessons now. I don't know if this is maybe a history lesson because it's going back quite a way, but in the way that one of the reasons that Italy joined the Five Nations and became Six Nations is because after the first World Cup, first couple of World Cups, Romania were a really, really good rugby team.
That's right.
And there were a lot of people saying they should join, and they didn't. And it just, Romanian rugby just went into the doldrums. So we've just got to build on it, because how much better is this, World Cup?
Absolutely.
Holistically.
That's what we need. Look at Argentina. They were always on the periphery of the top table of world rugby, and now they're, you know, one of the best sides in the world. So you can just drag that standard up, and the more global the game is, the more of the tier two and tier three nations that are competing. You know, if more funding goes towards Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, teams like that, like how potentially good could they be?
But you know, I said it in the last podcast, the two bigger nations, Japan, USA, you'd have thought are going to start pulling away
100%
of next World Cup.
Especially with the introduction of the sevens to the Olympics, because that'll get the USA interested.
Only the Springboks coaching staff with their green and gold blazers have got as good a stash as the Samoan coaching staff. I'm showing you another picture.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
That is literally amazing. Describe that, Tim.
It's not Hawaiian. It's obviously...
They'd be very offended if you said Hawaiian.
Yeah, exactly. It's obviously...
It's what we would look at as a Hawaiian shirt, though. But
it's obviously native pattern on the shirt with the whatever that wreath thing around the neck is. Flowers around the neck. I love it. Absolutely love it. In the coaching booth, I think.
So are we going to say Tonga beats Namibia?
Yes.
We'll keep very short on this one, because I think we've discussed this team to death. Wales-Fiji.
Wales
win, no bonus point though, and that could be critical.
A close game, and they'll scrape by, I think.
France-Canada?
You've got to go France.
Well done, Canada. Well, that was a really gutsy performance, and they'll be gutted not to have won in that match against Italy.
Yeah, do you know what one of the interesting things is about the World Cup? And I didn't know this until Eddie Jones highlighted it for Japan. You have to win two games and finish third to automatically qualify for the next World Cup.
That's right.
So one of the teams from a group of death, i.e. the Welsh group, is going to give someone else fits. So, it's, you know, potentially...
I don't think that applies to...
Do not?
No, to if you're in the Six Nations or the Rugby Championship.
But what about Fiji?
Fiji might.
So Fiji are going to be running through, like, Russia and a few...
We could do with Phil to check that one for us.
Yeah,
really.
Phil, check that, please. just make a list of things for Phil to do when he
comes back.
This will be a close one. New Zealand, Georgia.
Yeah, that'll be a tough day at the office for the Georgians,
I think so. Now, I reckon next weekend is going to be the most competitive bunch of games that we've got to date as a whole. So we're going to kick off with Samoa, Japan. I don't know which way I want this game to go. I'm thinking I probably want Japan to do it just because, for the good of rugby. But there again, Samoa winning is for the good of rugby. Basically, whoever wins that, rugby's the winner.
Rugby's the winner.
Yeah. Yep.
With that game, and it'll be wholehearted as well. I'm going to say Samoa ledge it, and they'll have their one win of the. They'll have their win.
Which that really puts Japan in a bind then, because they're not likely to get out of the group.
Yes.
Which we thought they might do.
No.
Next game. Now, this is going to really test some mettle. South Africa versus Scotland.
After that forward performance particularly, I don't think South Africa are going to let Scotland unleash their backs.
No, but on the other hand, I just think Scotland... I'm going to go with Scotland here. I really am. South Africa, they lost against Japan and they had this massive, backlash. But this isn't the only game that they've lost recently. They lost at home to New Zealand. Then they do seem to be
Argentina.
Susceptible. Sorry, what did I say?
New Zealand.
Sorry. Argentina. And they do seem to be susceptible just to turn off and
I don't
just
think
lose
they
it.
Will. That Japan game will have really scared them. You know, South Africa is one of the proudest rugby nations. They will have really been put through the grinder with the press, etc.
I don't think even a Welshman, as you guys are, can probably understand what it would be like when a team wins or loses in
South Africa,
the Springboks win or lose.
World, isn't it?
I went over there to watch the Lions. I watched second test in a casino, and everyone was quite polite. And when what's his name? Flyhoff
O'Gara.
Oh, don't talk to me about that, idiot. Still to this day. He basically cost me over £1,000 in tour money, because if I knew he was going to be that stupid, I wouldn't have gone. Who was it? The Flyhoff, South African massive boot, Steyn.
Morning Steyn.
People started jumping on tables. They started jumping on tables, throwing beer around. And prior to that, they were really, really nice. And as soon as they were, it was brilliant. South Africa really do love their rugby.
There's quite a few South Africans playing for Scotland now as well.
Strauss is the obvious one, isn't
he? Nelth, he's another project player. Yeah.
Mm.
Maitland's a Kiwi, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Originally a Kiwi. He's Scottish, obviously.
And Finn Russell's very good. Let's just see how that one goes, but I don't think it's going to be... At very best, it won't be a walk in the park.
Team has ever lost a pool match and won a World Cup.
There we go.
A little fact for you.
Wales can still win this World Cup. Brilliant.
They haven't lost a pool match yet.
So they can still win it. England have done.
I just think on that side of the draw, whoever emerges from Pool A and is it Pool B, Scotland, South Africa? Whoever emerges from that, I just think Ireland will just be getting more confident going, these guys are going to have been put through the meat grinder. Yeah. We get to just slowly ramp up. And...
Well, I mean, the beauty of it is, I mean, if they see Wales in the next round, in the knockout round, it's going to be advantage Wales because Ireland will have no idea who these guys are. They just won't know.
They'll know Big Gav is the one.
We know this fella.
Here we go. Get Andy Powell in as well.
Yeah, now talking.
Roll back the years. Love it.
Getting the band back together.
What are the games we got midweek?
These are Saturday, Tim.
We're looking ahead. Well, we'll probably do another podcast before then, won't we?
So we'll just have a quick England or Australia, but we'll discuss it in full on Wednesday.
England, we have to. We will. The nation.
No. That wasn't the question. Do England have to win? We know they have to win.
No, they will.
But who will win?
They will because they have to. They will because they have to.
What do Australia not need to win it?
They'll win it because they have to.
Oh, poor Tim.
It could be. Yes, but England are capable of doing what they did in 2007.
Oh, they're 100% capable of doing it.
To the final.
Let's not go over all ground. They're 100% capable of doing it. They've got the players to do it. They just won't do it.
No. Do you think they'll beat Australia, Joe?
Do you want to really think they'll beat Australia? Maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Sit on the fence like that. Come on. Pick a winner.
Yes or no.
You can change your mind on Wednesday when we do the next podcast.
That's what I'm doing.
As you normally do.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. Well, yeah, as I say, Tim, when the facts change, so does my mind. So I'm going to go, as things stand, Australia. I think England are going to carry a few injuries. I think Billy's going to be out, is he not? Ben Youngs doesn't look great. And without Jonathan Joseph, your attack is lacking.
Courtney as Laws is the one I'm worried about.
Are you worried about him because he basically is only good against small teams and against big teams? He doesn't seem to show up. That's why I'd worry about him. Throw in Launchbury, throw in Cruz, just do something different, I think.
We'll get Big Dave back in the squad if he goes out.
Big Dave Atwood or Big Dave Ewers?
Take your pick. We've got a lot. We've got some big
players. I could coach this England team. It can't be that hard. Pick Dave Atwood, Big Dave Ewers. Oh. They're halfway there. And then just to round off the weekend, it'll be Argentina-Tonga. So Tonga have got a quick turnaround. And Ireland-Italy. But we'll discuss those games on Wednesday.
Even as an England fan, I'm absolutely loving this World Cup.
It's the best World Cup ever.
Already.
It's been immense.
It has been amazing. And here's to more top rugby. Get your entry in if you want to be in Twickenham to see Australia Wales with DHL. Tweet us at Rugby Podcast with any thoughts or questions or things you'd like to discuss or points you want us to get across and tell the world. Download on iTunes. Get the Acast app and listen there. Subscribe and we will keep delivering Rugby World Cup chat to you. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for getting involved. Nice one, JB.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Phil, you're not needed back because we've got Bryn now. Nice one, Bryn.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
But before we go, I can't believe we're about to get to the end of a podcast. Bryn?
JB's phone hasn't gone off.
Oh my God, JB!
Every Monday, me and my brother listening to the podcast in work and I have a chuckle to myself.
I'll let you into a little podcast secret here. We have a soundboard.
Keeping the podcast going is just tempting fate that your phone's going to go off.
We have a soundboard that Tim controls, and he's actually saved my message tone, and he presses
every podcast. I don't believe that for 1 minute, JB.
Jamie, now believe me later.
Right. Well done, JB. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Much appreciated.
You've grown. You're a bigger and better man. Right, see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.